today on Real Radio.
I believe God is speaking to America, and he has been, but very few people are listening. If Jesus said a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without God noticing it, don't you think that with all that's happening in our nation, that God, who knows all things, he's speaking, trying to get us to pay attention? I believe he is.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Argument of God, Part 1, continues now in a new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sin and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, like no other prophet, and also what will happen in the last days. In the message called God's Great Commission, we learned that Isaiah's ministry began around 740 BC, and that his name means, "The Lord is my salvation." The book of Isaiah has 66 chapters that are broken up into two sections. The first 39 chapters are on sin, judgment, and the future, and the final 27 chapters are on restoration, forgiveness, and the future. The nation of Israel was also divided, Israel to the north and Judah to the south, both having departed from God while surrounded by their enemies. Now we'll see the beginning of Isaiah's ministry as he challenges the people to look at what's happened to their lives. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that the book of Isaiah speaks more about salvation, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and the end times more than any other book in the Bible. But Isaiah's nation is in trouble. And when good King Uzziah died, Isaiah receives a vision from God about his calling. Tell God's people to listen and to turn from their rebellion. And now in his lesson called The Argument of God, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
To the book of Isaiah, and by God's grace, we'll get into chapter 1, and by God's super grace, we'll get into chapter 2 tonight. No promises, but Isaiah chapter 1. Last week, we looked at the introduction a little bit, and we'll leave that. You can look at it later online or through the media ministry, but tonight we're looking at the argument of God. The argument of God. Discovering the salvation of the Lord through the grace of God. That's what Isaiah's name is all about, that the Lord is salvation, and that's what his message is about. The great prophet Isaiah, considered or known as the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament, spoke more about salvation than any other Old Testament book in the Bible. Isaiah spoke about the Christ, the Messiah, more than any other book of the Bible. It's the book of Isaiah that speaks more about the millennium and the tribulation period than any other book in the Bible. Amazing book. Now, are you in Isaiah chapter 1? You have your finger there? Let's go to the beginning of Isaiah's ministry. That's in chapter 6. Hold your finger there. Turn to chapter 6. We got to do this in order. Chapter 1 and 2 and 3, 4, and 5 couldn't have happened without chapter 6. Chapter 6, Isaiah is milling about, doing his business, living his life. He was from an affluent family. He was of note because we know that he had access to the kings and to the higher court of the rulers of Judah. And he even had an influence in the nation or the divided kingdom in Israel to the north. But Isaiah, regarding King Uzziah. So Isaiah is a man who is involved in court affairs, apparently. And as he was, the southern part of the kingdom, divided, Judah, was enthralled with King Uzziah. King Uzziah was a really good king. He was a reformer, and he was a tremendous builder, and he was a really, really bright guy, very beloved by the people. And Isaiah clearly loved him as well. And now watch what happens. With that in mind, remember, with that in mind, the nation is declining. It's affluent. People are doing really well. Their 401ks are doing great. Everybody's driving a new car. But the culture was waning, and there were indicators on the horizon that the nation was in trouble. At that moment, this is what happens. Isaiah 6, verse 1. in the year that King Uzziah died, and you would hear a collective, the beloved king's dead? Well, look what happened to Isaiah when the king died. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train or the glory of his temple filled the temple. The glory of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Those are remarkably bizarre order of angels. These guys are interesting, to say the least, in appearance. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled, or the temple, with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Why? For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is the Lord of armies, heavenly armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me. Okay, you guys, stop at that comma for a moment. Put yourself, excuse me, in his sandals for a second. The king dies, he's shocked. And then he sees this vision. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He's seen this vision transpire. It's more real than real. Are you with me, everybody? This is unbelievable. Imagine you seeing this amazing thing that's happening. He's not sleeping. He's not dreaming. The word vision means he was out and about doing his business, and he was struck by this either atmospheric manifestation in front of him, or by spirit, he saw or was transported by revelation to the very throne room of God. Whatever it is absolutely epic in revelation. And you might say, well, that's his drug-induced trip he's having. Maybe he's having a seizure. Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, except that from this event comes the book of Isaiah and some of the greatest prophetic utterances known to mankind recorded in the Bible. Awesome. So all this is going on, and if these seraphim weren't freakish enough, by the way, a little bit of detail, they've got one, a seraphim has one body with six wings. And the Bible tells us in another place, they have one head with four faces on their head. So you see my face right here? How can you not see this fat face? Imagine this. And then I turn this way. So the Bible says one has the face, on his face is the face of a man. Okay. The other side here is the face of an eagle. This face in the back is the face of a lion. This face on this side is the face of an ox. You see, that's freaky. You want to hear freaky? Those are the exact four symbols of the four gospels in the manifestation of Jesus in the four gospels. The seraphim represent the four gospels, the fourfold ministry of Jesus Christ when he would come to earth. King, the lion. God, represented as an eagle. A man, Luke tells us Jesus is the Son of Man. And Mark's gospel, the shortest gospel of all, has the most miracles as he's the servant of God in the gospel of Mark, the ox. It's all laid out there. Absolutely awesome. So he's seen this thing manifested in front of him. It's got to be amazing. And the seraphim flew to me in the middle of verse 6, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongue from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then I said, can you believe he said anything at all? This is awesome. Then I said, here I am, send me. Oh my goodness. And he, that is the Lord, said, go and tell this people. This is the call of the prophet. His response was, send me. It is an absolutely awesome thing that we're looking at. So as we consider this, look in chapter 1, where we see right here the argument of God. God is saying to the nation of Israel, and specifically Judah, the southern kingdom, he's asking them to consider this. Look what's happened to your life. God is speaking now in chapters 1 and 2. Look what's happened to your nation. Look what's happened to your life. And in verses 2 and 3, we see the challenge that they haven't taken anything to heart. He says, hear, O heavens, verse 2, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. And this is what he says. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Verse 3, the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel, that is Israel to the north, of course, but Israel is a nation. God didn't see them as divided so much. Does not know. My people do not consider. So the first thing we see right here is you hear God announcing through the prophet Isaiah. So now when God says, oh, go tell my people, this is what he's saying. Chapter 1, listen, call out to them. And look what God says. He calls to witness his indictment against this nation, Israel. He says, hear, O heavens, give ear, and O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Nobody's listening. Isaiah is speaking for God, and nobody in the nation is listening to the voice of God. Sound familiar in our country? God is saying, listen, no one's listening. So he does this, and God, listen, God will do this, and he's doing it to us. God will say, heavens, I'm going to speak. You be the witness against these people. Earth, listen up. And it's as though heaven perks up and listens, and the earth sits up and takes notice. What are you about to say? And God is going to say this, I'm going to speak to my people, but they won't listen to me. I believe God is speaking to America, and he has been, but very few people are listening. If Jesus said a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without God noticing it, don't you think that with all that's happening in our nation, that God, who knows all things, he's speaking, trying to get us to pay attention? I believe he is. And so he's asking the creation to take notice. I'm calling these to be my witness. Now, why would God say this? He's announcing, if disaster comes upon this nation of Israel, or Judah in the south, Israel to the north, if disaster comes, God is saying, I want you, heavens, to take a record of it, and you, earth, sit up and watch, listen. I will not be blamed for their disaster. And America cannot blame God for its disaster. Emotionalism will try to blame it on God. But God has sent warnings, and God has sent warnings to Israel, and he sent warnings to Judah, and they won't listen. And it's in an interesting time because King Uzziah had led the people into great prosperity. We'll hear more about this a little later. But look at this. Listen to the heartbreak of this, in my opinion. He says, I've nourished and brought up children, but they've rebelled against me. That is the worst, in my opinion, the worst possible thing that can happen. It's bad enough if your kid is stricken with a disease or is taken away by an accident or something. That's over the top painful. But something worse is when a child grows up and then turns around and shakes their fist at you and rejects all of your generosity and all of your love and all of your guidance and says, get out of my face. And the nation was saying to God, get out of my face. We don't need you. We're rich. Everybody's got a donkey in their garage. We've got, you know, all these cool things going on. We've got water. The nation's happening. We're safe. By the way, all this was going on in Israel and Judah, Israel to the north, Judah to the south. All this affluent feeling was happening. But as we mentioned last week in the introduction, all the surrounding nations, remember, they were sharpening their swords for battle. I heard a news report this week that one of our top national figures in Washington, D.C. said that the ISIS situation in the Middle East has not reached the level that warrants our concern And translation, it's happening over there, so far away. And I'm just, people we don't know are getting killed. Ladies and gentlemen, at what point do you wake up to the invading armies? You better wake up to the invading armies while they're on their soil. It's too late when they're on your soil. That's a bizarre way of thinking, man. Oh, don't worry about it until they're knocking on your door. Then worry. Wow. Nope. Listen, pretty amazing. Israel was surrounded by nations at that time that were sharpening their swords for battle, and they are the target. But they didn't think it. They didn't feel like it. They didn't understand that. Isaiah chapter 3, or verse 3, I should say, says, the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know and my people do not consider. This is amazing because an ox has a voice command to it. An ox. You can make noises or speak to an ox. Now, we think of an ox, right? Oh, what a dumb ox. They look dumb. By the way, have you ever seen an ox look worried? You know, they don't look worried. I know people think, well, a dumb ox. Well, I don't know if that's fair. We don't know what's going on in that head. And why do we put them down? Well, they're just beasts of burden. Oh, you know, at least they have a job. They don't complain. They look happy doing what they're doing. And they're just plodding along. And God says, you know what? The ox knows its master. So before we call an ox dumb, I know humans who do not know their God. And then he says, the donkey knows its master's crib, the stall or the master's house, the donkey. Now, see, well, what a dumb donkey. I'm not going to use the old King James word. But with my name, I'm kind of halfway there, Jack. And we make fun of them. Oh, what a dumb ox and that dumb donkey. Wait a minute. Did you know that if a donkey's lost? Actually, a donkey can't get lost. You can try to steal a donkey. You can hijack a donkey. But the moment you let the donkey go, guess where the donkey goes? The donkey goes home. There used to be stories where criminals would use a donkey to do some bad stuff and run away from the crime scene, but they left their donkey. And the guys would release their donkey. The donkey would go right back where the criminal lives. They know where to go. Listen, I know people who are people, humans, and they don't know to call out to God. They don't know to cry out to Him. They don't know. They go through all of this worry and all of this fret and all of this hardship and all of this complaining and griping. And God says, my people are so messed up. They're so far from me. An ox and a donkey smarter than they are. The Bible tells us, by the way, that in Romans 2, verse 4, knowing that the goodness of God leads a man or leads you to repentance. You know, you think of that. God is saying, what's wrong with my nation? They've rejected me and I've been good to them. And you know, the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. You need to read the fine print though. Listen, it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Meaning, you're supposed to stop. If you're not a believer in God, you're supposed to stop and take stock of your life, and you're supposed to, like, you know, take your pulse, and you got pants on, right? You have pants, or you're wearing a dress, or you're not naked. You have sandals or a shoe on. You're not, you know. At that, you're supposed to stop and say, isn't God good to me? Isn't God good? You know, think about it. Every day we get up, and every day we live a whole day and go to sleep. Isn't God good? He got you. Listen, all of His grace got you through that entire day. And by the time we come to the end of the day, we should say, God, thank you for allowing me to live this day. Man, the way the world's going, thank you. You know, I didn't lose my head or get Ebola today, or for crying out loud. Thank you, God. Thank you for everything. He's so good to us. And the Bible says, and it implies that you're thinking normal. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Can you say in your life, God's been good to you? Do you have anything, any evidence around you to say, God has been good to me. You know, but now watch. A lot of people say, well, you don't know the life I've lived. You don't know the sorrows I've had. You don't know. Listen, you've got troubles. I've got troubles. All God's kids got troubles. In the midst of all the troubles, God is good. He's always good. Somebody, I heard just recently, somebody had complained about a situation. It was in the front office. Or somebody came and they had said something. It was like my house, something, whatever it was. And one of the pastors had said privately, you know, they should probably be a little bit more thankful that they have a house to complain about. See, we have a tendency to complain. I can't believe I got a flat tire. What we should say is, thank God I got three tires that aren't flat. And I have a car that was able to get a flat tire. God has been good to you. And he says with that, that should lead you to repentance.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called The Argument of God, Part 1. Thanks for listening. And our prayer is that as you get to know God more, you'll discover just how much he loves you and wants to heal you. The Argument of God, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. As many of you already know, Pastor Jack handpicks a book of the month each month for those of us who look forward to great reading material for spiritual growth. Well, we actually have two books of the month for the month of February. The first one is called The Love of God, An Intimate Look at the Father Heart of God. And it's written by the well-known author Oswald Chambers, who also wrote the very popular devotional called My Utmost for His Highest. In The Love of God, An Intimate Look at the Father Heart of God, Oswald Chambers challenges the Christian to step back and consider what their commitment to the Lord means in both personal and practical terms. It's sure to help deepen and strengthen your relationship with the Heavenly Father. Our second book of the month is called Softball, Glory, and God's Story by three-time gold medalist Leah Amico. This 31-day devotional will inspire athletes of all ages to be their very best and encourages them to keep God first as they work hard to accomplish their goals. Leah Amico also shares inspirational stories and how the softball field can relate to principles found in God's Word. Again, our books of the month, The Love of God, An Ultimate Look at the Father Heart of God by Oswald Chambers, and Softball, Glory, and God's Story by Leah Amico. Both are available for purchase when you go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Have you had a chance to go to our website yet, reallifewithjackhibbs.org? Well, if you haven't, then you haven't yet discovered all that Pastor Jack wants to share with you. There are so many resources that you can tap into. Simply start at the Home tab and go from there. Pastor Jack offers videos of past sermons, Real Life Radio in case you missed an episode or you want to hear one again. There are also devotions with a new one every week, our recommended book of the month, special events you can sign up for, Bible prophecy from our Facebook Live events, and a whole lot more. And by the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has a YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? Over 500 videos for you to choose from to guide you through your walk with Christ. And when you have your smartphone or tablet close by, you can download the Real Life app. So all that's happening at Real Life with Jack Hibbs is right there at your fingertips. Once again, head over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can even download the Real Life app from right there, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.